As we wrap up this episode of Take Care, we examine the bottom line when it comes to climate change and health. In 2014, the World Health Organization, or WHO, said that climate change would bring malaria, diarrhea, heat stress, and malnutrition, which would kill 250,000 more people annually around the world from 2030 to 2050.
And while 250,000 additional deaths is not something we should ignore, some think that estimate might be a conservative one. A new report in the New England Journal of Medicine suggests that number could be higher.
For the latest in health, we're joined by Dr. Karen Solomon, physician and associate professor at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Solomon is deputy editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. She says climate change is a significant health issue.
The more we see where greenhouse gas emissions are heading, which unfortunately is still upward, and we look at those consequences, the more it becomes clear how much disease and deaths are projected, you know, if we don't make really dramatic, immediate changes.
And as far as the estimate is concerned, an additional 250,000 deaths annually, Solomon says that since the WHO report, even more factors have been identified that will make it harder to live with climate change.
For example, on the quantity and quality of crops, so that actually the nutritional value of certain foods that we would be eating goes down with increased levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
One thing that I think many of us are aware of is the increase in severe storms that follows an increase in temperature. I asked Solomon about that during our interview. She explained that with severe storms comes not just personal injury, but also displacement, mental health effects, and even water contamination.
Not to mention the spread of disease, especially those carried by mosquitoes or by ticks.
You know, just recently seeing this extension of Lyme disease, so that it's kind of showing up everywhere in the United States as opposed to in isolated locations. We've seen Zika virus in Florida. So that's another worry. Effects on air quality have major implications for respiratory disease, for heart attacks, for allergies, numerous health consequences that then together can translate into these high death rates.
Another interesting part about all of this, climate change impacting our health, is that the healthcare industry is to blame for a significant portion of overall greenhouse gas emissions. One study estimates about 10%.
If the healthcare sector were a country, according to another report, the industry would rank 7th when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions. It's a fact that isn't lost on Dr. Solomon.
Many, many hospitals and healthcare centers are taking this concern very, very seriously. So there's a lot of work that has been done by a number of institutions. So Kaiser in Boston, Partners Healthcare, Boston University have really been making tremendous efforts to reduce emissions, to reduce waste, etc.
So does that mean the healthcare industry has a special obligation to help change the circumstances? If they're contributing at such a large scale, but also trying to keep us healthy, how do they ensure it's not a wash?
Dr. Solomon mentioned that too, especially when I asked if physicians should be lobbying politicians or governments for more change.
At one level, people may feel comfortable just, you know, weighing in when possible on legislation locally or at the state or federal level. Others are going to choose to be more involved in terms of really speaking to legislatures and testifying, etc. So I think there are different levels of being involved, but that we certainly need to be paying attention and making very, very clear the health impact of our policies.
So what's the key here? Is it prevention?
According to Solomon, yes. And most of the adjustments we can make to help combat climate change also help us in other ways.
One of the ways that people are really trying to kind of address the whole issue of, okay, what can we do to reduce greenhouse gas emissions is to make really clear that there are tremendous benefits for these direct climate change related effects, but there are what people refer to as co-benefits, so that other benefits that are likely to accrue if we're making changes. So in terms of individual actions, you know, as we try ourselves and we encourage people to walk or ride bikes rather than drive their cars when that's possible, to reduce their meat intake, those also have direct cardiovascular benefits. So sort of another gain. Likewise, we know that when greenhouse gas emissions are reduced, air pollutants are reduced. And air pollution is a huge cause of disease and death. So that, you know, there are just multiple additional reasons, although certainly the health effects of climate change should be reason enough. But I think there are just many, many reasons to make these changes.
We talked earlier in the program about how people sometimes think that climate change isn't an issue that will affect them directly, that while some of us feel anxious about it, others are in denial about the impact climate change will have.
Solomon assured us that regardless of our ability to comprehend the effects of climate change, they are already occurring.
We're seeing more people with allergies. We're seeing more people with asthma flares. Certain infectious diseases that we didn't used to see in certain locations, we're seeing because of these climate changes. And I think by really making clear to people just on a patient encounter, you know, when we're talking to our patients about some of the problems that they're experiencing and how they relate to climate change, I think that can be very helpful. I also think it's important to educate about disease risks that they might not really have thought much about. So as we're moving to more days of extreme heat, understanding the dangers of that, particularly for vulnerable individuals or for people who are traveling to places where previously maybe they didn't have to worry about getting a mosquito bite, but now they probably should and they should take precautions. I think those kind of direct personal issues can be tied in, as well as that encouragement to exercise and eat well.
That's the latest in health on Take Care. You can find the study we discussed in the New England Journal of Medicine. It's called The Imperative for Climate Action to Protect Health.